brothers and sisters, in what's been given to us with the true riches that cannot be taken away from us. How blessed we are to have that kind of wealth out of that kind of love from a great, amazing, and mighty God who is just now making his love known to us more all the time, that he's with us, that he feeds us, that he blesses us, and he gives things to us that can't be robbed from us. How blessed we are, brothers. Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, the great I am, Jehovah, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New, one Spirit, one God, infinite, eternal, almighty, all-powerful, pure light, pure love, the faithful God who is beautifully and wonderfully faithful. He can't be anything else than what he is. He's true to himself. And he is the Word, and he can't be anything different than that. Now he's faithful to his children, and he's letting them know, you're part of me. And so if you're a part of me, you're a part of all of those things. Oh, Father, open our eyes, please, more to you tonight. Not occupying time. I know we got tired bodies and many things on our mind and sick people and hurting people around us. So many cares, burdens of this life. But I'm asking even now, transport us beyond that, would you, into your presence so we can sit with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Partaking of things that don't even apply to this life, but get us through it. Don't necessarily make this life better, but preparing a life where we'll be free from all of this and leading us to it. Oh, what a mighty God you are. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation in this day to us. It's the pearl of great price because it's you. You and you and us. You for us, you in us, us in you, all together, one. So take away fears tonight is my prayer. Take away doubts. Take away frustrations. And if there be anything in any of us that's not pleasing to you, forgive us for our shortcomings, Father, please. Our hearts yearn with everything in us every day. We just want to be with you. We want to be right with you. We don't want anything in between us, Lord. So we thank you that there's a propitiation and there's a cleansing of your blood still cleansing us, Lord. Now we ask that you would anoint us to your word. Many are anointed for many things, but your bride is anointed to your word. So open it up in our hearts, and not just to hear, not for a sermon, but to partake and to eat, to become one with, knowing that we are taking into us your spirit and we're taking into us your life. That's all we need, Lord, is you. Settle our hearts there now, I ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for playing tonight. Thank you for your special. Thank you, musicians. You know, even Nate, the songs he was singing there, that was revelation. So, Even that song, it's not in trying but in trusting. That has to be quickened to us too. So there's so many things. As we've been spending a lot of time in Hebrews, spending a lot of time in chapter 3, chapter 4, we have to cease from our own works. We have to have confidence in what he's building and being a part of it, and we have to hear his voice to be that part. So here we have been approaching chapter 5. Actually, chapter 6 is what we're getting to and haven't gotten there, but I haven't gotten there on purpose because I could just, let's do a quick sermon on completeness, and in 3 days you'll have forgotten all about it. And, oh, that was a good sermon is about all you might remember. Well, you might not even say that because it might not be. But it's not good sermons I'm interested in. It's him opening his word to each one of you individually and watching that word go to work. So sermons don't make any difference except for pointing you to him and say, go to him, run to him, call on his name. Because if he doesn't open to you, all of this is in vain. I hope you know that. It doesn't do one bit of good for any of us. But here's one thing. Why am I taking so much time approaching chapter 6? Because chapter 6, as we've read so many times, the word perfect, perfection, perfected, in the book of Hebrews appears more than in any other book in the New Testament. So here is this amazing thing that Paul is preaching to Hebrews, Jews, who know only God past tense because at this time they rejected Messiah. At this time, all they knew was a God of past tense. He hadn't even made himself known for 400 years. So they knew and they met around things that he did, and he's bringing them to a God that does, and not only a God that does, but does in them personally and cares for them personally in Hebrews 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through. It's just so incredible. Finally, and I've said this so many times, how is it where things are indicated in other scriptures, but in this book he spends a whole chapter on coming to completeness? And in a certain kind of way, it's the climax chapter of the whole book of what he's writing. So to you and to me and to us, here we are looking at this on coming to completeness. And we have to leave about everything that we knew behind to get there. Now, that's a big step because people don't leave what's comfortable to them easily. Okay? And to move somebody and to bring them into change, as you know, is like pulling teeth. People don't like change. So you can imagine Paul writing in the book of Romans, writing the whole New Testament, and saying things like circumcision doesn't avail anything, you know, when it was the whole covenant. Did that come with resistance? Oh, you just can imagine. So there are so many things. So my point is, where are we now in this day? What kind of a point? What things do we have to leave behind to go to this place of chapter 6? And what is it that chapter 6 represents? Completeness. Who represents completeness? Men of God, besides the Lord Jesus. Enoch. Where are we? What do we keep bringing up? What is the most critical thing for you in your walk right now? Because if you miss this, you miss everything. Enoch walk. Okay? Is he not the type of the bride? So I don't care how religious you are, how good you feel about yourself and where you become, if we do not come to where he's called us to, in that completeness, we're missing everything. So that's why I'm approaching it so carefully and so slowly. So, Enoch, okay? Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. What do we know him about him? Hardly anything, and it's sure a good thing. God in his infinite wisdom, God knowing the human nature, we'd find a whole bunch of false copycats. And if we knew everything about Abraham, tell me that we all, okay, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and they'll look in the mirror every day. Does this look like Enoch? Does this sound like Enoch? No, it's all by our own efforts, and we'd be rejected. There you go. We become a lot. So, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Here's what we know. Enoch walked with God. That's it. And he was not. Okay? Now, I find that so interesting because that's in the Alpha of Genesis. Seventh age messenger, seventh age, seals are open, 1963. Here is Brother Branham preaching in the message, Perfect Faith. Is that what Enoch had? Did he have perfect faith? Yeah. Do I have to have perfect faith? I do. He said that's what's holding up the rapture, because we don't have that, right? So it's coming to us. But we're in the process of it. So here we go. From, that we've read so many times, the message, Perfect Faith. Jesus lived in a world no one knew about. He walked with the Father. Okay? He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in a perfect God, which he was. Now, there's where we fall short. We lose our confidence in God. Let me go back to John 5:19. Okay, the scripture about the adoptive son that Brother Branham refers to over and over and over when it comes to maturity. He only does that which the Father wants. Why? Perfect trust in him. Here's what Brother Branham says. He walked in a world of perfect trust, perfect faith in a perfect God. He knew he was had everything. He was infinite. If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. People wouldn't understand you. We don't like that. We like to be understood, right? Okay, you'd walk in the Spirit. Now, listen to this. There's communion. There's fellowship. And what the Spirit said you would do. So there's direction, there's fellowship, there's a, you know the voice of God, you hear the voice of God, you obey the voice of God, but it's not only in directions of turn left and turn right and go this way and go that way, it's in revelation. Okay? What he forbid you to do, you wouldn't do. Now, that's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystic. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world nobody knew, even could touch. So when a man lives by faith, walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he's isolated. There you go. What's he isolated from? Everything of the world. So where is his walk? Is it to please his brothers? Is it to appear accepted in the church? Oh, am I looking right? Are my dresses right? Are my wearing right things? Am I looking right? Am I, you know, fig leaves of the message, right? So when he walks by substance faith, he's isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. Now you're getting into bride material. See, now you're getting into a rapturing condition. So what did we know about Enoch? He walked with God. What did he say, rapturing condition? You walk in a world with God. Same thing, right? So if I don't help you get there, I'm failing miserably, because the only thing any ministry, true ministry, has to get you to that point You don't need him. He should be talking himself out of a job. You need to be in a world where you walk with God alone. Now, if I'm walking in a world with God alone, well, that's not very nice. That seems pretty selfish. Come on, you guys. Jesus walked in the world with God alone, and he was love. And he did what the Father asked him to do. So why do you even worry about that things? Those thoughts come from the enemy that tries to keep you from doing the thing God wants you to do. And you're not trusting him. Oh, if I walk in the world with God alone, oh, I can't be a member. I can't be I can't be a brother. I can't be a sister. Oh, I'll be just stuck. I'll be, tell the devil to shut up. Come on, because he's coming against what the word says. By his own reasoning, and he's appealing to your reasoning, saying, oh, that would never work. And I'll give you 10 reasons why it wouldn't. So here we are, approaching completeness, approaching our Enoch walk. Now, I'm going to make an announcement. I was going to do it at the end. I'm going to do something I've never done before next Sunday. And I have had sort of an odd walk. The Lord has not allowed me to listen to other ministries. I'll try it. I'll put them on, and then I just can't do it. I know a lot of you have listened to other ministers all around. Well, lately, he has opened the doors for me to listen to this one, listen to that, a few here and there. So I have known that the Lord didn't want me to be a copycat. And with all of you, the thing that I want more than anything for young ministers, the last thing I would die if I saw you becoming men of men. And I mean that. I despise that. Men who follow men who live to please men. If you live to please men, you cannot be a servant of God. I want men to be men of God. I want you to hear his voice. I want you to obey him. I want you to walk with him. And everything else is a perversion of that. So in this, what I'm bringing up is we're going to listen to another minister next Sunday. This brother is from South Africa. His name is Alistair Francis. He preached at Brother Chad's church. He's been there many times. But what he brought out is something I have been hitting at. Going back and you start thinking about through the Hebrews. Why did I spend so much time on Hebrews 3? Why did I spend so much time on Hebrews 4? Do you even remember any of that? Why do we have to cease from our own works? Why does the scripture say there are some that must cease from your own works? You must enter into his. Why do we have to have confidence in the one that's building? Because if we don't see him and are part of him building, we'll build it ourselves. And then we spent so much time on Hebrews 6 because that is the trail of the whole church ages took off from that verse. If you don't keep your confidence and rejoicing in him who is building the house, you'll build your own. And that's what the whole church ages did until they built these beautiful facades and structures, and everybody was there but God himself. And oh, were they powerful. And oh, were they beautiful. And oh, did they have control. And that is the nature of this life. Now, what happened to me, I listened to Brother Alistair. He was just there last week or the week before, wasn't he? To Brother Chad's, and I turned it on, and he's an incredible person. Never seen anybody quite like him. He's incredibly intelligent, but he's not one bit intellectual. but he is everything that I was trying to say in all of those sermons for all of those months. He comes out in scripture and lays it out flat and plain in one sermon. I said, that's it. So I'm bringing it to you because let me just say this. Here we are, approaching chapter 6, the completeness, our Enoch walk. And I believe for each one of us in our walk with the Lord, we're at a turning point. In other words, I think that we're at a critical juncture. I think we each have to look in decisions. Nobody can make it for anybody else. What is my life, really? What is my walk with God, really? What am I doing, really? What motivates my actions, really? Why do I live the way I live, really? What is the genuine seed of Jesus Christ in me doing? Is it really building that up? And these are the questions we must ask. So, that's next Sunday. So, he's preaching. You might not like it. It's sort of hard. But I think you'll be incredibly... Do you think it was hard? Oh, you haven't even listened. Oh, that's good. Well, don't listen to it until next Sunday. Yeah, but you have to hear it through, and you have to hear it to the end, and at the very last few minutes, he just gushes out his heart about it all. And you will understand that. So we have to be free from the bondwoman. She cannot be part of the rapture, guys. It's just that much. And that's where God has to really work in the lives of each one of us and face that. Am I free from that physical bondwoman that wants to control each one of us? So that's my purpose in all of this. So approaching completeness again, and in doing so, I'm laying the foundation for next week. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 5. We'll take that for a text. Would you stand with me? Again, for listening to ministries, for me, I don't want to be a man of men. I don't want you to be a man of men. I don't want you to follow ministries. I want you to follow God. I don't want you to follow me. Follow him. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest, sound familiar? Taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Men, God's chosen man for men. How many times have we talked about that? That he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant, aren't you glad? And on them that are out of the way, aren't you happy about that? For that he himself is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. That's the high priest of the Old Testament. And no man takes this honor unto himself. You don't appoint yourself. Oh, I'd like to do that. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron, God has to call you into it. So also Christ glorified not himself as a high priest, but he that said unto him, the Father, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he said in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now go with me to chapter 7, one verse there, please. Chapter 7, verse 11. Okay. Now we have therefore perfection, That's what we're heading for, that chapter. We're of the Levitical priesthood. If that could bring us to perfection, for under it the people received the law. Any law, man's laws, your laws, will never lead you to perfection. Do you hear that? You'll miss the rapture. You will miss the rapture in your own laws. If therefore perfection were of the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest who should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Why? There had to be something different. There had to be something that was not of the law. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, you can go and you can find lots of material and lots of sermons about high priests. And we know about the high priest and the blood and sprinkling blood and going there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he was the only one that could go in. And it was very dangerous for him to go in. And he had to go in correctly dressed. He had to go in at the right time, at the right place, doing the right thing that God ordained perfectly, or else he was dead. So all of a sudden, this is thrown in there. And we are so blessed, brothers and sisters, to have the message of the hour. The message of the hour gets more precious every single week, because more and more and more, as my eyes are opened, which I'm pretty thick-skulled and slow, as I always tell you, we wouldn't see any of these things that we're seeing. We'd be just like other people in stuck in chains of denominationalism. Okay, so how in the world do you understand this outside of the message? You can't. What do you we do understand, or the world understands a little bit about high priest? Okay, that's a given. But why after the order of Melchizedek, and why does that have to do with my perfection? Who is Melchizedek? What do I know about him? What is there an order of Melchizedek? Why does it have to be order of there anyway? And who can explain anything about that? Now, you have a message, and you are blessed, and you don't realize it, but Brother Branham is giving you the keys to the rapture all the time. He's giving you keys. He's giving you little things laid out perfectly the way the Holy Spirit wants them. As we've said before, here a little, there a little, right? Isn't that the way, as I mentioned before, go listen to the message Godhead and you'll just be befuddled. He doesn't even preach on Godhead, so it seems, but he's giving you things the way the Holy Spirit wants you, because Romans 4:16, somehow the elect will get it. Okay? So here again, look at the things that he's told you, being moved to the first man. Then he goes into the adoption process. Why? Only the soul can respond to these things. Only the soul can respond to things like Melchizedek. The human mind has no place for this, because it doesn't make this life better, doesn't make this life happier, doesn't pay my bills, doesn't make me richer, doesn't heal me, doesn't do anything. It's for the soul. It's for that eternal part of you, and that only. So only the soul can respond to these third pull things. Remember how we've done that? First pull to the flesh, second pull to the heart, third pull to the soul. How many wanted to, even in the message, you find people, oh, I got to go back to the first pull. Oh, we got to go back to healing. Oh, we got to go back to this. Oh, we got to go back to that. Why? They can't leave those things beyond. Why? Do you know what it boils down to? They don't trust the Lord. No. He's done something wrong. Well, we got to go back. He's not done anything wrong. He's done everything perfectly. Okay, therefore, they could never be John 5:19 because they don't trust him. You can never be John 5:19 unless you trust him. You'll never be there. You'll always come up with your own thinking that's better than his. Okay. Perfect trust leads you into John 5:19. I can't do anything without him. I'm settled. He knows. Okay, so here we are, and he's bringing us to this, and he's bringing to Melchizedek, and all of a sudden, people out of frustration. Why Melchizedek? Why does he have to be a priest after this order? What do we know about him? How can I learn about him? How can you outside of the message? Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean I have to have that priest, high priest, after the order of Melchizedek for my perfection? So if I'm not perfected, am I not going in the rapture? Then it gets pretty personal, doesn't it? Huh? Do I want to get out of here? Do I want to go through the tribulation period? Is the blood of Jesus Christ purifying me? Or am I trying to purify myself? There is all these questions there. Okay. So again, Melchizedek is a huge thing. It has to do with God completing his work in you. So therefore, it has to do with you getting out of here. Now is it getting personal? Now does it make you want to know a little bit more about it? Now does that make you want to pick up these messages and listen to them and read them and study them and say, oh, I better get back into that. Who is this Melchizedek? Why is it necessary that I know? You with me? We're getting into serious times. If this, we how many years have we said the rapture's close? Huh? How many times have we said it might be this year? What's holding it up? We are. That's what the prophet said right before he left. So do we want to get out of here? Is he waiting on you? Is he waiting on me? He laid it out for us. Are we too lazy to get into the Word? Are we too preoccupied? Are we too busy? Oh, then we'll have to answer like that text. For is your life worthy of the gospel? God made a great dinner. Invited everybody. Oh, I'm too busy. I got a business. Oh, I'm too busy. I married a wife. Oh, I'm too busy. I got a cow. I got to attend to this, got to attend to that. Come on, you guys, we're living in Laodicea. Tell me that you don't have things to tend to. Now, is that meant to scare you? No, it's meant to wake you up and say, God planted me here in Laodicea. God planted me here in this time, and he made me to be an overcomer, so I don't care, but I'm going to somehow, my heart's pulling me into that word, and I got to go. Somehow, before I fall asleep, I'm going to get into these messages and into my Bible, and it's going to be in there every single day because it's my life. So here we are. Why Melchizedek? Why did it have to be after this order? Why does that have to be with my perfection? How can I understand about him when so little is written about him? So we thank God for the opening of the scriptures again. And he has given us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit has said to the churches through his prophet. So let's go, you guys. I'm going to take a few things down. Let's break this down. Why Melchizedek? Why for our perfection? From what the message tells us about him. Okay, you ready? Number one. What do you know because of this message that you would never know about Melchizedek? Number one, Melchizedek was God in Morpha, right? Okay, what does in Morpha mean? It means that God changes his form. What denominational ministry will you ever hear that God changes his form? What denominational ministry will you ever hear that God comes into the form of human flesh? That's it, period. And they limit it to that and refuse to see anything different than that, right? So what do we know about Melchizedek? Number one, he was God in Morpha. Number two, he changes himself in forms for the purpose of making himself known. Why does he do that? You want to tell, like Brother Branham, do you want to tell him a better way of doing it? So God came into a body, and that body in Morpho was called a theophany. Okay? What would you know about any of those things outside of this message, Marianne? Not one thing, would you? Do you see how blessed we are? Does this have to be for my perfection then? Then I should know these things, shouldn't I? So if it's for my perfection, Sister Pam, it has to do with me getting out of here, doesn't it? You want to get out of here, sis? Number two, God made himself known in this form of human flesh. Okay, it was in this flesh. He didn't have to. You know, that's so undramatic, isn't it? So here's Abraham, and he's walking down the, I don't know where he is. He just returned from a battle, and he said he returned home, and the king of Sodom was somewhere around him at that time. Was he on his back on the farm? Now, if it was Pentecost or charismatic or some of us with a charismatic mindset, why didn't he just form himself into this 500-foot cloud with lightning and thunder just blasting all over it and speak so that the earth shook? That's what we would like to see. But here he comes up in this man. What did he look like? Was he attractive? Probably not, because nothing that God enters into is attractive. Huh? Was Jesus attractive? What does he say about John the Baptist? What does he say about the prophets? John the Baptist, a hairy old man, probably didn't take a bath. He had locust juice running down his beard. Mary, you know, Laura, you'd love that, wouldn't you? No, really. So here comes, and God chooses the most humble way, and he says, how in the world a little old man comes up? I am Melchizedek, which means king of righteousness, and he was the king of Jerusalem at that time, sort of, kind of, figuratively or really. Lots of questions there, right? Anyway, here's a man. Did God make sure he was bathed and groomed? No. And that's how God chose to make himself known. Very humbly, correct? Do you understand? We're talking in the realms of revelation. And what I'm trying to say today, outside of the realms of revelation and the Spirit of God, that's the only way you will get to perfection. There's no other way that he designed. And if Melchizedek is our perfection, a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, and I cannot be perfect without that, there's a perfect example, because nobody will know anything about that. And I can learn about it historically, and I can even understand it historically going back to 1963. But what about today? What about to you? How does Melchizedek affect you now, today, bringing you to perfection? What's going on in the spirit realm where that spirit of Melchizedek that was here, that made himself known, is still here? Maybe he changed forms. But didn't Brother Branham say the pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium? So he's still here. Do you see it? No. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you feel it? Yeah. Quite a bit of times. Do you know he's around you? What about your theophany? He said you can feel it. Do you feel your theophany around you sometimes? Huh? Are these things real? Because these are the things that will all come together by the Spirit of the Lord and bring you to the place he wants you to be taken out of here. So, again, number one, Melchizedek was God in Morpho. in the form he made himself known. It was a theophany. It's the way he made himself. Number three, Hebrews 7:2, Abraham paid tithes to him. What is that? Why is that significant? Because it shows that Abraham had something in him that recognized eternal life in a non-eternal vessel. Do you remember us talking about that? What happens when you receive, when you see eternal life in a non-eternal vessel? You receive what's that in that eternal life from there, don't you? Oh, interesting, huh? So God coming to make himself known in a dusty old man walking down the road that says he's a king, and Abraham pays tithes, shows that he said, I see something beyond the human flesh. I see something behind the human smell. I see something behind the human sight that says, I don't care what I see in my physical or what my senses tell me, what my nose tells me, what my ears tells me, what my fingers tells me. There's something in my soul that says I'm in the presence of Almighty God, and he's here in a form to come to me. Incredible, right? Think about this, because this is where you are in contact with something that's going to take you over that you need to know. Number four. I think it is one of the most important and interesting things. Abraham was walking down the road and he met him. So here comes this man. He made himself. There was another guy there. It says the king of Sodom was near him. Isn't that interesting? So I think it's very, does God make mistakes? So here he comes to the bride of Jesus Christ in this day, and it's a mixed multitude. But only one sees Melchizedek, and only one understands it. And Abraham is the only person Melchizedek came for. He didn't come for the king of Sodom. So here in this mixed multitude of this last day, God comes and he says, here's something. And somebody hears something. Jamie, whoever gave you ears to hear and eyes to see that you can understand what others can't, honey? Where'd that come from? Melchizedek came to one, Abraham, period. Isn't that interesting? There was the king of Sodom next to him, but he didn't come to him, and he didn't receive anything from Melchizedek. Who received something from Melchizedek? Abraham. And him only. Okay, are you with me on these things? He made himself known to one person only. That was Abram. Abram at that time. Why? He was the covenant holder. He was the grace covenant holder. He was seed. Abraham comes to his chosen seed, the covenant holders, period. God's chosen vessel through which he would bring his promised seed, period. That's who he came to. Now, who is he coming to in this day? Us who are holding forth the promise to bring forth the promised son. Same thing. Now, number five, from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. So here Abraham, or Melchizedek comes to Abraham, and what's the first thing it says? He brings forth bread and wine. What happens to the Spirit into us in this day coming to the seed of Abraham? He doesn't just bring you word. He doesn't bring you an intellectual understanding. He brings you bread and wine. He brings you bread, the bread of God, the bread of life, but he also brings you the wine so that you can understand it and it's revealed to you, and you can not only hear it, you can embrace it and become it. Did Abraham become the father of many nations? Did he bring forth the promised son? So he just didn't hear about it. He just didn't say, I believe it. He had to become it. Does that sound familiar with us? We're so far, you can't just believe this message, you have to become it. We are to bring forth the promised son. We are in this place where Melchizedek is interacting with you out of his love, coming to you and say, I'm bringing you forth the bread and wine of Almighty God. Not only bringing you the bread of life, but I'm bringing you the revelation so that you can not just understand it, embrace it and become it. Then, number six. He blessed Abraham, and part of his blessing was identifying him. You with me? What did God say? Blessed are you, Abraham, of the Most High God. He told him right where he came from. He told him right what his source was. And what has Melchizedek, the spirit of Melchizedek, your high priest, trying to bring you to a place and feeding you the bread of life and the revelation? You're the son of Almighty God. See, that same thing is going on in this day. The same thing is going on with us. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. Now, the ancient Hebrew for this, I looked it up. I encourage you, you have that app on your phones to go do that, because it's there's a picture graph of an eye representing knowledge and experience, and the shepherd's staff. Combined, these mean together to experience the staff. If that isn't perfect. So the yoke is a staff lifted over a shoulder, is attached to an ox for performing. So what God is saying, this is my vessel through who I'm going to work through. Isn't that pretty cool? This is my vessel that I'm going to work through. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. You're my chosen vessel. You're the one I'm going to work through. And now he's coming to you, Ron. Yeah, you didn't come here just to believe a message. God sent a prophet. I'm here. I'm a son. He's the processor is processing me. He's taking me. He's feeding me the bread of life. Oh, he's revealing things. He's opening his word to me. Oh, I'm not just believing, I'm becoming. What am I becoming? Him? What was I born to do? Become him? Huh? Incredible. How's he doing it? Word upon word. Brother Branham, how many times did he tell us? If it's bride, it'll be word on top of word on top of word. How many times did he say that? Many, right? Word on top of word on top of word on top of word into the full stature of Jesus Christ. So here we are. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. He identified him. We're identified. Who? The spirit of Melchizedek in this day, our high priest, our Lord Jesus, coming in the form of human flesh. What was his choice of human flesh for this day? A Kentucky hillbilly. What was that? A Kentucky hillbilly. What else? A Kentucky hillbilly. But what was in him was something different. And some people will look at that and say that little hillbilly was God. And others will say, no, he wasn't. And others will say, no, he wasn't God, but that which was in him was. You understand? Yeah. It's a spiritual what is happening. Remember how we looked at that picture? That's not God, the man. That's not God. Even the pillar of fire is not God. It's just representing that he's there. What's happening there? Oh, that's God. Why? It's what the Spirit of God is doing, where he's operating, where he's revealing himself. See? Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. There you go. Number seven, I think, is most wonderful because it shows you in your position. Verse 20 of Genesis 14. Blessed be the Most High God who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of everything. So God has come to you. And you know what he said, Sister Lenore? Hey, you overcame. Because of me and you, you're overcoming this world. You know all those enemies out there? What is the rapture? Psalm? Psalm 27. What does it say about Psalm 122? Let's go there a minute, huh? Isn't this the promise that God gave Abraham through Melchizedek? Isn't this our rapture? Isn't this getting out of here? Psalm 27. Let's get out of this world. How are we going to get out? What's the conditions of this world like when he takes us out of here? The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my light. He is the manifested word. Right? And that is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Why should I even talk about fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, well, yes, he is. And then what's the next thing? Who shall I be afraid? Why? You're surrounded by enemies. What would they like to do? Tear you apart? Rob, kill, and destroy? Isn't that the devil? What does it say? Read verse 2 out loud with me. 2 and 3, would you? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I only have one desire. I want to be with him. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I might dwell with him, okay? All the days of my life, that's all I want to do is be with him and be in his presence. So here, isn't that interesting? The last thing he said, blessed are you of the Most High God. Blessed be the Most High God who he delivered all your enemies. Hey, you are victorious. Hey, you're overcomers. Hey, nothing's going to hold you here. Because covenant holder, Melchizedek has appeared to you to bless you. Blessed are you, Marianne of the Most High God. Can you receive that? Lilia, can you receive that? Sophie, you can receive that. Blessed are you, Eliana of the Most High God. Even Isabel, I know she's so shy. I can't ask her a question, but I can say that. Blessed are you, Isabel of the Most High God, right? Daughter of God. Okay. Interesting thing here. God, in his infinite wisdom and design, linked Abraham to Melchizedek. True or not true? He brought himself to Abraham in the form of the human flesh to give him bread and wine of revelation. He came to Abraham to bless him and identify him, that he was of the Most High God. He came to Abram and let him know that all of Abram's enemies were delivered into his hands. Four things. They were linked together in revelation. They were linked together in identification. They were linked together in blessings. They were linked together in being victorious over this physical realm. Now that's a bunch. Do you see why our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, completing us, bringing us to perfection to get us out here, why Brother Branham? No, Brother Branham had nothing to do with it. Why the Lord God Almighty said, it's time for these people to see these things. Because they got to finish a work. And how's he going to finish it? Word upon word. A word upon word. Isn't that how he does it? Word upon word. We keep taking word upon word upon word. Okay. Now, we who are the royal seed of Abraham are blessed with him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with Abraham. Hebrews 7:11, and our perfection is out of this priesthood. And Hebrews 5:9, the Lord Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek became the, now this is very interesting, but it just jumped out at me this week, after all these years, became the author of eternal salvation. Now, those two words don't belong together. Because salvation always comes at a point in our minds. I was saved. David, when were you saved? When did you know that? How did you know that? Would you have known that without this prophet, without this message? No way. No. You would say, I got saved. And still, if you're giving your testimony, you would go back to a time and say, well, I was like this and I'm no longer like. I love that from The Chosen. Jesse has it on a t-shirt. What does it say, Jess? I was this way. How does it go? I was one way and now I am different. And the only thing that happened is him. I love that. But what is so interesting here, it says eternal salvation. He's the author of eternal salvation. So this is Melchizedek. This is Jesus Christ, our high priest. This is something different. This is not a high priest. This is not the Levitical law. This has nothing to do with the law. It has everything to do with revelation. And here he uses this term, and I think it's the only place I've heard of it. It might be other places. The author of eternal salvation unto them that hear him. Obey means to hear and come under. So there's revelation going on there. Now, if we read this with our denominational thinking, we'd say we get saved at some point and then we are blessed to live eternally. But we have been given the light of the day that tells us the word eternal means something different than that. Okay, what does the word eternal mean to us in the message? So, and outside of this message, there was a salvation that never started. How can that be? Until Brother Branham takes us into the mind of Almighty God. And here he takes you places that nobody else outside this message would ever go. Okay? Think of that. So this whole thing is for the bride. This whole thing of Melchizedek. The whole thing, that's why we keep spending so much time here. The Lord Jesus. Remember what he said? The prophet said? It's a revelation of him, what he is in this hour, not what he was in another hour. We must see him. What is he in this hour, Charity? God in Morpha. What is he in this hour? God changing forms. What is he in this hour? Melchizedek, God coming down in the form of human flesh. Huh? Go read that message. Go read Melchizedek about 50 more times. No, 150. And then read Christ, the mystery of God, revealed 400 times. And all the rest of them. And see the riches that just keep bubbling up and flowing out from them. And you see things constantly that you've never seen before. Eternal salvation. So there's something that never began. So here, we see here that there will be others who, like Abraham, were direct. Listen to this. We see here that there will be others who, like Abraham, will be directly linked by God to Melchizedek again. Who will come to them with the bread and wine of revelation and identify them as of the Most High God, sons and daughters of God, and he will tell them, God has delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he will reveal to them things that you were always saved. Eternal salvation. That's from the future home, by the way. Or you always was. From who is this Melchizedek? But the process of all the spiritual revelation is nothing to do with the flesh. Not one thing. And that revelation is given personally to each child in secret through the ministry of our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And here we are, brothers and sisters. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing next week. It's what I'm doing tonight, what I've been doing for months. Here's our turning point scripture. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Would you stand with me? Let's read it together. Okay. Oh, foolish Galatians. Are you so foolish? Read it. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No way. Okay. That's our turning point. We're going to say goodbye once and for all for things that we've been holding on to. Thank you. You may be seated. All full expression. Finished. Chapter 6. Enoch walk. Enoch completion. All full expression is the manifestation of life received without observation and the expressed in God's timing and place. Oh, I gotta quit. I'm gonna just throw some things out at you, okay? Everything that is manifest in the flesh by God begins in secret on the inside. Okay, quick. Revelation, number one. How many times we brought this up? What is revelation? Faith is revelation. What is faith? Revelation. What is revelation? Faith. Can you separate them? No, you can't. What happens when a revelation is given to you? I have a terminal disease. Who is that lady in England where the dove came? Lady, there you go. Nightingale's granddaughter, was it? Something like that. Skin and bones. Seen pictures of her. What happened in her heart? She heard God speak. God spoke to her heart. Now, she could have heard a human speak. She could have heard a pastor speak. She could have heard Brother Branham speak. But until she heard God speak to her, nothing happened. Does that make a difference? Okay. What is revelation? God has to speak individually to you. Number two, you have to hear it. Right? Number three, once you hear it, you have to believe it and receive it as absolute truth. This is nothing but the truth. True? Number four, the life of the spoken word goes to work in the receiver of the word. True? That word goes to work as soon as she says, I believe it. That's the absolute truth. Number five, the revelation is manifest in physical proof that the word was believed and received. True? Where did that start? Where did Sister Nightingale, whatever her name was, where did her healing start? On the inside of the inside. What was received? The word. Where? In her soul. What happened there? Conception took place. What happened? She received spirit and life. That life went to work in her. What happened? It manifested on the outside. Are you catching this? Is that making sense? Revelation. Revelation. Melchizedek. Abraham. Revelation. What did he do? Revelation. This is who you are. This is where you came from. This is what God has for you. You are blessed. Know what? Not even any of your enemies are going to triumph over you. You're going to triumph over every one of them. Huh? Revelation. Yeah. That's what's gone on in this day. That's why us being finished has everything to do. If I want to walk this Enoch walk and I'm serious about it, I have to come to this place because I can't take any flesh with me. Not one ounce. Wait till you hear next week. You might get mad. You might walk out. But if you hear it, you'll be blessed. Okay. This has nothing to do with the physical realm. Did that healing have anything to do with anything she did? Oh, I suddenly ate herbs. I ate some tonic. Nope. It was the word. Okay, the word revealed triumphs over every obstacle. I'm giving you three quick examples, really quick, because we're going to, in fact, servers, would you get ready and come? Okay, number one, human life. Everything testifies of this thing I'm trying to get to you tonight. The uniting of the sperm and the egg is done in secret and without observation. True or not true? But is finally manifest in the flesh. True or not true? Rapture. But to the who would understand this outside of the bride of Jesus Christ under the message of their prophet William Branham in this day, who are so blessed to know what the rest of the world cannot know because they did not hear it. They totally rejected this. But to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. Something has to happen in the spiritual realm before it can happen in the physical realm. Something happens in secret in the soul. Third pole, secret. Secret chamber, third pole, seventh seal. All of these things. Are you with me? Something happens on the inside of the soul. Abraham and Melchizedek is a perfect example. That's why Melchizedek had to come to us today. Our perfection, our finished is some revelation. God in the spirit form coming to you and bringing you bread and wine. And you can't give it to each other. He has to come to you, and I can't come to you. If I do, it'll be a perversion of the whole thing. That's why you can't follow man. That's why you can't become a man of men. That's why you can't be saying, oh, this ministry, I'll get under. That's why I haven't ever done this before. I'm doing this in faith. You won't follow a man or a ministry, but you will so be linked to the Lord Jesus and go to him and say, you have to feed me or I die. You have to open your word to me or I'm dead. Rapture. So we got revelation from the inside out. Human life inside out. Rapture. Okay, mystery of the translation of the bride. What happens? Oh, we all just pop out of here like popcorn. That's what the Pentecost, that's what the whole world thought. And he says, no, a life begins on the inside of your soul and a body builds just like the human being. The human being types everything God is doing. Conceived in secret places, hidden away, without observation. The most holy thing, life happens. And it begins to build a body around that life. Who would have ever, would you ever think of the rapture taking place this way outside of this message, brothers? Huh? Do you know how wealthy we are because of what God has done in this age? I'm trying to help you to see. You needed this message. William Branham had nothing to do with it. God did. And God loved you enough to give you ears to hear and eyes to see and say, there's something there. And you're just like Abraham was walking up to a dusty old man walking down the road one day and looks beyond flesh and looks beyond whiskers and looks beyond robes and looks beyond unkempt hair or man without deodorant or something and says, I see something. And I can't explain it, but there's eternal life there, and he paid tithes to it. And what did he do? He received from that eternal life that was in him. Same with you, and same with me. Mystery of the translation of the bride. Who would have ever thunk it, huh? Abraham, same thing. What he received on the inside of him, in his soul, is what came produced out from him. Do you understand? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this pattern? Do you know that it's 100% revelation? Huh? And you know that it has to be between him and you, and it can't be anything different? So what are churches for? To point you to that. I can understand why Brother Branham says the church world has played its role, but one day it's got to be, there's got to be an efficiency. You have to enter into Christ. You will still gather. But we have a religious mindset of what church has to be. Tell me that's not a religious mindset. If we went back to the book of Acts, we'd be sitting around the kitchen table in each other's house breaking bread. Huh? These are the mindsets that have to be broken, brothers and sisters. Abraham, inside out. Hebrews 11. Look at all of these men of faith and women of faith. God spoke to them and they heard it and they conceived what was inside of them by the voice of God and made it manifest out. And God said, these are my people. I'm commending them faith. Here is faith that is of a good report. It's all over. It's all over, brothers and sisters. I hope I'm preparing a place so when we get to next week and you think back on all the things we've preached on Hebrews 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, approaching 6, all of this will come together in one sermon. We are at a turning point. Yeah. Hebrews 12. And I mentioned this last week, but it was the last time I was here. 12:22. But you are come to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels. This is a spiritual place. This is not a physical. Heavenly Jerusalem is a spiritual place. Okay? Spirits of just men made perfect is a spiritual place. The mediator of a new covenant and the blood of sprinkling is a totally spiritual place. You are living by a word that, here's the whole thing, this is where we're at in a sentence where we've been. I spent so many weeks, what's the difference between a man-mediated word and a word that God writes on your heart? What's the difference? Do you know what the difference is? Life and death. When God inscribes his word in your heart, it's there by him. There's Melchizedek. Okay? So why am I reading this now? Before I can go to Revelation 21 and see let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. There she is, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have to go to this heavenly Jerusalem in Hebrews 12. Because you can't go to the actual until you have the spiritual. You cannot go to the rapture that's activating and going to be until you go into the spiritual application of the rapture. Life begins in secret places. Revelation begins in secret places. The word is sown in secret places in the soul of your heart. Are you with me? Okay. Do you see why this is important? Do you see why this isn't just church? It's a place where you are with God and where I am with God. And it's what God is doing and wants to do in me and in you. And I'm pointing you to this place. Go there. Go there. Listen. Pray. Be on your knees. And don't you ever come before him and say, I was too busy. I married a wife. I bought me a cow. I bought some land. I couldn't come to your feast. Okay? You're overcomers. Yeah. Our perfection is of a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That we understand because of this day. Okay, brothers. Yeah. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Do you know that you partaking of this tonight, you are making a testimony in front of your brothers and sisters that I'm meeting with Melchizedek, that I'm partaking of fellowship and communion with my God, and this is only a symbol of that. For as often as you eat, excuse me, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Brother Greg, would you ask a blessing on the bread?
Oh, Lord, gracious Heavenly Father. Wow. Lord, this is such a tremendous hour that we're just approaching. And just hearing your word just converging together in just so many points. And what you're doing, Lord, in our hearts as we are looking upon your word and just hearing the continuity of your word. And even across the land, Lord, hearing things, echoing of the same thing. What is it, Lord? Your spirit is brooding.
Yes.
Brooding over your people.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We know that that crop will all come to maturity together. What is it? It isn't man's doing. It's your doing, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This truly is the true communion, oh God. Your communion, yes, Lord, with your body and each one of us a member. And it isn't our righteousness at all. We again see our identity in you, Lord Jesus. And we're so thankful, oh God, knowing at this day that I'm the Father. You and me, and I and you. We're so thankful, oh God, that awareness, Lord, is just growing ever more and more. And what is it? It is your doing. It is precious in our eyes. We're so thankful, Lord. And this bread, Lord, that represents your body. The one, Lord, you wanted to bypass it because the price was so terrific. That you willingly laid down your life for the joy that was set before you. What was that joy? The joy of claiming your body and redeeming it again to the Father. Lord, what a glorious thing that we can have fellowship again with you, that fellowship that was broken, that it is the head joining to the body. What a glorious thing, Father. We are so, so thankful. Lord, we pray that you bless this bread.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed, O God, as all who come and who partake.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Again, we renew in symbol form that meaning that we are meeting with you, partaking of your word, for that which we are part of, to which we are profoundly grateful.
Thank you, Lord.
And this we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we just give you thanks tonight. We want to ask that your blessing upon this wine, Lord, and with understanding of what it represents, Lord. And Father, we do come tonight in thanksgiving, but we also come recognizing, Lord, the depth of this, the gravity, Lord, the reality of this, of you in flesh, bursting forth your life. Lord, bringing your spirit upon a people, your word into a people, so you could become flesh again in us. Lord, we just worship you tonight. We give you thanks. Again, recognizing what you've done for us. Lord, it's all your grace, and we just give you thanks tonight. Be glorified. Bless each one now as we partake in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can you put some music on, Philip? And let's come and partake.